7 o'clock in San Francisco and the West Coast, and it's time for Minds Over Matter. Dana Rodriguez, Lori Fisher, and Jerry Nachman will match wits with listeners on the Bay Area's favorite quiz show. Call us at 415-841-4134 with your answers and questions tonight on Minds Over Matter.
Ain't wrong, you're right. If it ain't day, it's night. If you ain't sure, you might. It's gotta be this or that.
Ladies and gentlemen, your moderator, Dana Rodriguez.
Thank you very much. Hi-ho, everybody. We hope you had a lovely, or are having a lovely, President's Day weekend, and can give us an hour of your time tonight, because Minds Over Matter is, as I've said before and will say hopefully many times in the future, an audience participation quiz program. So, of course, we are welcoming your participation. It's very, very important. Our lines are open right now. It's a great time to call in if you have an idea for a question or you actually have a question. So please give us a call at 415-841-4134. Again, with a question or answer, 415-841-4134. I do want to remind you that we'll be giving you questions on current events, movies, history, literature, geography, television, radio, and just about everything else. So again, 415-841-4134. I feel we have one of our lines up, and I strongly suspect it's a call from Union City, but that's just my personal opinion, but we'll see what happens.
It's been blinking all day.
Yeah, it's been blinking all day. And so our email address is mindsovermatter, that's mindsovermatter, one word, at yahoo.com, mindsovermatter at yahoo.com. We don't read the emails during the show, but over the course of the week, and it's always great to hear from our listeners. So if you have an idea or a comment on the show, that's fine, mindsovermatter at yahoo.com. If you'd like to hear our show online, and believe it or not, people around the world actually do, you just go to kalw.org. Anybody with a computer can go to kalw.org. And if you'd like a podcast of this show, it should be available afterwards, along with some of our older shows, also at kalw.org. So, that being said, we're going to start with a round of introductions and a round of questions. And here's the first. Jerry Nachman is bound for Hollywood this week to stalk interview subjects for a new book and looks forward to dining at Musso and Frank, L.A.'s oldest restaurant, on Thursday, which is Chicken Pot Pie Night. Is that where you planned your vacation, or not?
Well,
your
pretty
trip
much
around?
It turns out I'm going to be staying for within walking distance.
Oh, that's good.
Have you ever been there? It's a great restaurant.
I have been there,
It's
yeah.
a great restaurant. Well, Lori Fisher wants to assure listeners that even should he be elected Pope, admittedly a long shot, about as likely as a fiery meteor hitting Siberia on a Friday afternoon in February, he will still faithfully serve as a panel member on Minds Over Matter.
Thank you.
And our moderator, Dana Rodriguez, did not do the patriotic thing this President's Day weekend and buy a mattress, but he did use a $1 and a $5 bill to buy a BART ticket.
All right. So that is us. We begin the questioning with Jerry Nock.
Okay. I'm going to give you five taglines of 2012 movies, and you identify the movie that they advertised.
Right.
There's five. Okay. I'll read them all, and then you guess. The Greatest Manhunt in History. The Law Has Limits, He Does Not.
That's what they used to say about me.
Fight, Dream, Hope, Love.
That's Lori, isn't it?
Yeah. Oh, yes. Well, I'm
so my tattoo says that, actually.
Yeah, does it?
Yeah.
Mine okay. says love and hate. Like each on one hand says love. One.
Okay. A Fire Will Rise. I'm sorry, I'm giving you six. I made a mistake.
All right.
Six. The movie was fake. The mission was real. And The World Will Be Watching.
Well, the only one I know is the easiest one right off hand, and that's Argo. The movie was fake. The mission was real.
Okay, so I'll give you each one. So that's yours. You got that right.
All right, that was Lori? The one I knew, too.
Yeah,
so,
that's it.
Yeah, okay.
So, that's why I went first.
Read them again.
The Greatest Manhunt in History. That's number one. Number two, The Law Has Limits, He Does Not. Three, Fight, Dream, Hope, Love. 4, a fire will rise. And the last one, the world will be watching. Some of these are in Oscar competition and others are not.
Kevin, I want to be introduced from now on as the law has limits, but he does not. Or your moderator, Dana Rodriguez.
That could be the tagline for the show.
It could be, yeah.
Yeah. Wow. Well, the law's limits, that could be almost any Bruce Willis or Arnold Schwarzenegger movie. Is it one of those?
No.
Okay.
Is it Sylvester Stallone, by any chance?
I don't know. I don't know who's in this movie.
Is it a bullet to the head, or was it a Sylvester Stallone movie that came out very recently, like a month ago?
I don't think so.
All right.
Is the world will be watching? Is that Flight, perchance?
Wait a minute. The world will be watching.
The last one?
No.
No.
All right.
Lincoln?
I don't know. Yeah, Lincoln.
But no. They weren't watched. The world wasn't watching Lincoln.
No.
Maybe that's the law has limits, but
yeah. No.
All right. Okay. Well, if you'd like to join us with an answer to that or a question of your own, the number is 415-841-4134. That's 415-841-4134. Let's go to Union City. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
This is Gav from Union City.
No, I'm psychic.
Surprise.
Yeah. What's up?
I got a follow-up question. That Richard Kelly went to school with Steve Allen.
Okay.
A little tough one for you. What TV comedian was Steve Allen's babysitter?
This does sound familiar.
I know
maybe,
that.
Yeah,
know
Jerry
that.
Might know this.
Yes.
He babysat for Steve Allen when Steve Allen was a child?
Yeah, babysat Steve Allen.
Yeah. Was it Milton Berle by any chance?
Yes.
I think that's right.
Yeah, because Milton Berle and Steve Allen's mother were friends because he thought she was the funniest woman he ever saw or something like that.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Right.
Belle Montrose.
Mm.
If you know, with President's Day coming up tomorrow, and a film to Target, what was the name of the Pinkerton agent that was sent to protect Abraham Lincoln?
The Pinkerton agent that was sent to protect Abraham Lincoln.
You're going to find this really...
Pinkerton himself.
Yeah.
Pinkerton himself.
No.
Oh.
Oh, there's a book out about an earlier assassination attempt that Pinkerton did foil.
Yeah, but it's another guy.
Okay.
Played by Dick Powell in the movie The Tall Target.
It's a name we all know, Garrett?
Yes. That's your why I count with Lincoln.
Yeah. Oh, so it's a name we know.
And he kept it.
Oh, a name we know.
It's real coincidence, an eerie coincidence.
His name was Kennedy.
Yes.
John Kennedy.
Was it?
Yes.
I do remember that.
It's eerie, isn't it?
Yeah. Right.
Well, there are a lot of ironic parallels between the two. Yeah.
Yeah.
Very nice.
Thank
you.
You
know,
came out before Kennedy was assassinated.
Hmm?
Lincoln's secretary was...
Johnson or something?
Well,
Kennedy's secretary was Lincoln.
Right.
Ella Lincoln.
Mm-hmm.
And Lincoln's secretary was...
Another Kennedy?
No. May have been Kennedy, yeah.
I'm not sure.
Anyway.
All right. Thank you very much.
Also, Kennedy was assassinated at Lincoln Continental. That's
scary,
isn't it?
Yes, it's scary.
I didn't know that.
All right.
Yeah.
I have a great Lincoln joke, but I can't tell it on the air, so maybe afterwards. And Lori, it's your turn.
All right. Well, since it's President's Day, we're on a roll here. I got questions about the first president to use a telephone, the first president who had his picture photographed, and the first president to fly in an airplane while he was actually president. So the first president to use a telephone, the first president to be photographed, and those two aren't necessarily when they were president, but the other one is, who was the first president to fly in an airplane while he was president?
The earliest president to be photographed, but not while he was president.
Not necessarily. Yeah.
Would be John Quincy Adams.
Perfect. Boy, you're on a roll. Yeah. Very good.
They had photography?
No, it was many years after he was president. In
many,
the
many
1840s.
Years, many years, yeah.
That he was
yeah.
photographed.
Even at the long time, right?
Yeah. Okay.
Okay.
And what were the other ones?
The other one, the first president or ex-president to use a telephone and the first president to fly while he was in office. I'll give Dana one more guess at these, and Jerry, you can have two more.
I don't know.
The one who was first to use a telephone... Was it Rutherford B. Hayes?
Jeez. Yes.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, that's that is really good.
Okay.
Yeah, that surprised me, too. All right. Jerry, you want to guess on the airplane one?
No idea.
Right. Well, you could guess. Well, we rarely have an idea.
Theodore Roosevelt.
Yeah. No.
Okay.
We used to answer Rutherford B. Hayes to just about all the presidential questions.
Right, right.
And the number to join us is 415-841-4134. Again, this is Minds Over Matter. With a question or answer, it's 415-841-4134. Okay. Two questions. What was the first national historical landmark or monument in California so designated? What was the first national historical landmark in California? And I will say that this actually started at the beginning of the 60s. So it's really not as... I mean, not that this monument is not is from the 60s. It's much older. But
that's when they started the designation.
That's when they started the designation.
Mission Dolores?
No, not Mission Dolores. What was the first national historical monument so designated in California?
Is it something to do with the gold rush, Sutter's Creek? Or?
No.
Okay.
Although all of those things became monuments later on.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's a monument meaning a structure or a statue or something.
Yes, it's a structure.
It's not a natural thing. It's not Yosemite.
It's a structure. Yeah.
All right.
Well, how about the Golden Gate Bridge?
Nope.
It's older than that, right?
It is.
Yeah,
it
I
is
think they would
older
have phased
than that.
Them in
yes.
Yeah,
from,
yeah, yeah, yeah,
yeah,
yeah.
The mission's a good guess.
What was the first national historical monument designated in California? And second question: this should do at least one Lincoln question here. Why are there 87 steps between the reflecting pool and the Lincoln Memorial?
I take it this is historical answer. It's pegged to history somewhere.
In some way,
There's some 87 in his life, right? 87 votes or steps.
Why are there 87 steps between the reflecting pool and the Lincoln Memorial on the mall in Washington?
And are these Lincoln-sized steps, or would these be...
Just your usual steps.
87
steps. All right.
Right.
Mm-mm. 87 days to something.
Yeah.
I have no idea.
And the number to join us again is 415-841-4134. Let's go to a call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Hi, this is George in TL.
Hi, George.
Let me just guess on the first monument in California. I don't want to be in Monterey, the original capital, would it?
It would not be in Monterey. It's not the original capital in Monterey, no.
Okay. So my question is, who was this guy? He was a original student of Sigmund Freud, and he had the privilege of having his books burned in Germany in the 30s by the National Socialists, and in the 50s by the United States government through the FDA.
Through the FDA?
FDA?
Food and Drug Administration.
Oh, really?
Yeah. It's the Nazis burned his books, and our taxpayers' money burned his books. Sigmund Freud, a student of Sigmund Freud.
Now, would you say this person was well-known, other than for this reason?
You know, within a certain niche, he's very well-known, and I'm surprised that somebody didn't just pick it up right away. But you know, it just... I think everyone will know when I say who it is.
Did he become a famous psychologist? A psychiatrist?
Radical psychiatrist?
Radical, very radical.
No, like,
he was a student
I want to say something like Eric Erickson, but...
It's a little farther out than that.
Okay. Oh, good. Yeah, Kevin suggests Wilhelm Reich.
Absolutely.
Good job, Kevin.
Yeah. Oh, very good.
He lives in Santa Cruz and he's figured it out.
Okay.
Good job.
Thanks a lot.
Thank you.
Good question.
Thank you. Appreciate it. And next call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Hi. On the question for the monument one?
Yes.
I have two answers. I think the first one I'm going to say is Coit Tower.
No.
What about Lombard Street?
Nope. Neither one, sorry
to
say.
Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Can I make another guess at the structure?
Sure.
The Presidio. Okay.
Although all these things became designated monuments later on, but it's not wasn't the first.
Okay.
And next call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Hi.
Hi.
Okay. Let's see. The National Monument, I'm going to give a shot. I got answers to two questions.
Mm-hmm.
I'll guess this. First one I'll give a shot is Hoover Dam.
Not Hoover Dam.
Okay. And the second one has the president flying. And, you know, this is a stab in the dark because I'm trying to think, when did they actually feel that flying was safe enough for the president to be in a plane? I'm going to go with FDR.
That's correct. Very good. Nicely done.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, 1943. Good.
That late. Oh,
yeah. That surprised me. Okay.
Good job. Thank you very much. And, Jerry, it's your turn.
Okay. We get away from presidents and movies for a minute. What three tools were included with the first Swiss Army knife in 1891?
Wow.
Oh,
not counting the blade.
I have carried one of those for many, many, many years.
Yeah.
I used to, too. Yeah. I love the scissors, but I don't think the scissors was that early. Was it?
How about no.
Okay.
How about the iron in the top hat? Let's see.
The cat.
The cat, yeah. All right. Let's think now.
Okay.
So give me that question just once more.
What three tools were included with the first Swiss Army knife in 1891?
Well, of course, a knife is a tool.
Yeah, you said,
not included. Not included.
Not included.
Blade.
All right.
So it's the extra ones.
All right. How about a corkscrew? A screw of some kind?
A screwdriver.
A screwdriver is correct.
Yeah. Oh, really? Oh, good. Good job.
That seemed good. They'd have to be practical.
Yeah. Very good. Screwdriver. So
corkscrew is practical.
So two more, yeah.
The magnifying
Not
glass.
A corkscrew, no.
How about that? No, I don't think a nail file. That was always a popular. Oh, tweezers.
No.
Okay, that came later.
No.
These are much more fundamental.
More than a tweezers? Yeah.
Well,
well, do you have a year for the one?
1891.
1891, okay. You don't suppose a screwdriver.
He said a screwdriver.
I said a screwdriver. That was right.
He was right.
Oh, I should listen more.
Yeah, you should listen to the show. It's a pretty good show. Yeah,
there's a podcast during the
I have to come to the rehearsals. let's see. All right.
Dozing off at the mic.
And so, okay, so not the screwdriver. All right, I don't have to think about it.
Okay.
Yeah.
Instead of repeating what everybody else says.
Okay.
All right. And let's go do a call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Hello?
Hi, you're on.
Hi. The 87 steps from the Lincoln Memorial, That's 87.
That's right. Oh. 87 years ago. Very
brilliant.
Good.
Brilliant.
That's good.
Absolutely.
Good job.
Thank you.
Thank you so much.
John from San Francisco. We have a question, my wife and I.
Okay.
What country makes the world's most sausage? And as a hint... probably totally useless.
Most sausage?
You mean what? I'm sorry. What country makes the most sausage?
And as a hint, it's also the country that makes the most dentures.
The most what?
Dentures.
That's a hint. Well, I'm going to go with China because they make the most of everything. No,
I'm going to say Italy.
It's a European country.
You know, it's weird because I have read someplace about the country that makes where all the dentures come from, or a lot of the dentures come from. Sausage, I had no idea, but maybe I can work on the denture part.
It's not England. They're not the denture country.
No,
sure.
No.
I said Italy, but you didn't say yes or no.
No, it's not Italy.
Okay.
Sausage. Is it something in Eastern Europe?
No.
It's not. Okay.
Ballet shoes.
What?
dance shoes.
Is it Portugal?
Dentures.
Oh, dentures. Oh, God.
Not Portugal.
Oh, it's not Portugal.
Oh, not I thought you said dance Europe. Shoes. Oh, God. My hearing. Forget
no,
about it.
No, wait.
Okay.
So it's
dance shoes.
It's not dentures and sausage.
It's dentures. Not Eastern Europe, and it's not Portugal. Okay.
Oh, God.
All right. And sausage.
And this is per capita or total?
I'm not sure about the sausage. I think the dentures is total.
Yeah.
No, I read about this.
Poland.
No, you got them.
He said it wasn't Eastern Europe.
Oh, not Eastern Europe.
How about Germany?
No. You are getting closer.
Okay.
So, is it a small? It's a small country, isn't it?
Yes.
Oh. All right. Then let's
Vienna.
Think about this.
Vienna.
So, how about Liechtenstein?
That's it.
All right.
Liechtenstein makes the most sausage?
Well, I mean, it's in the sausage belt, so to speak.
Now, the Vienna sausage, isn't that right?
And dentures. I did read about that in dealing with dentures.
Yeah.
All right. Thank you so much.
You're welcome. Bye-bye.
Okay, and Lori, I think it's your turn.
All right. Well, the Oscars are next week, so we got to get our Oscar questions in. I have two. Hugh Jackman and Anne Hathaway are both nominated for roles in which they sing, one for Best Actor, one for Supporting Actress. Who are the last two actors and supporting actress to win in a role in which they sang? That's the question.
But would you call it a musical, the movie they were in?
Yes.
Okay.
And here's the other question. The following two people have won Academy Awards for screenwriting. What do they have in common? Ian McClellan Hunter is one of them, and Robert Rich is the other.
They're both pseudonyms.
Correct. For who?
Pseudonym Robert Rich is Dalton Trumbo.
Yes.
And I think that was for The Brave Bull?
The Brave One, I think.
The Brave One? Okay, sorry.
Yeah. And then that's Robert Rich, and then Ian McClellan Hunter?
That's a little tougher. It's not Dalton Trumbo again, is it?
It is.
Okay.
Yeah, do you know the movie? This surprised me.
He did a lot of anonymous writing. Well, it's pre-Spartacus because he's used his own name on Spartacus.
Yes. And for those who don't know, he was blacklisted during the time and he wrote under pseudonyms or had a front.
Not Paths of Glory, is it?
No. It's a film that I would venture to say is not political at all, although some would argue with that. But it's
really okay.
I think you can argue every film
about it.
Okay, we'll leave it out there. So the question that remains is what film did Ian McClellan Hunter, fronting for Dalton Trumbo, win an Academy Award for? And Hugh Jackman and Anne Hathaway are up for actor and supporting actress in roles in which they sang. Who were the previous winners to win for singing?
They're winners.
In the same movie?
No, different movies.
Oh.
Yeah, different movies.
Different movies, but the same year?
No, different era.
Okay. All right.
Yeah.
All right.
So best actor for singing, and someone who sang, and best supporting actress.
Well, yeah. I'll say best supporting actress. Is that Rita Moreno?
No, not her. Someone won after her.
Okay. All right.
Okay.
And the number to join us is area code 415-841-4134. This is Minds Over Matter. We're here every Sunday at 7 p.m. Hope you're enjoying the show. We are the Bay Area's favorite quiz show, until I'm told otherwise. And our panel tonight is author Jerry Nachman from Diablo Valley College, teacher Lori Fisher, and I'm your moderator, Dana Rodriguez. And you're listening to us on 91.7 FM. That's KALW, your local public radio station. That number once more is 415-841-4134. Let's go to a call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Hi, this is Sal calling from Atlanta.
Hi.
I was wondering, didn't Liza Minnelli win for Best Actress?
She did win for Best Actress for Cabaret.
She did, but I'm looking in this one for Best Supporting Actress, since that's what's up this year. But that's correct on Liza Minnelli.
Okay. Actually, I wonder if you all saw the Silver Linings Playbook yet.
I have not, though. I know people that have.
I have.
Okay. I have not.
You need to go see it, Dana, because you will be very surprised to hear Frank Sinatra singing. Will have to muddle through somehow. In that song.
Have Yourself a Merry Little Christmas?
Yeah. He actually did do two versions of it. One where he sang, obviously, that's the one they use in Silver Lining. And then in a later version, he did change it to Hang a Shining Star from the Highest.
Yeah. Band. Very interesting. Of course, I don't have to go see the movie for that. I can get the soundtrack.
But it's worth seeing.
All right.
Okay, Oscar question.
Yes.
I checked as far as I can, but I'm pretty sure this is the only movie that ever won for... I mean, not one, was nominated for Best Picture, Best Director, Best Supporting Actress, Best Supporting Actor, Best Actor, and Best Actress. And actually, just a little kicker, there were two nominees for Best Supporting Actor.
And did any of these people win?
Yes. I mean, if you want me to tell you, I can tell you.
All About Eve?
No, it wasn't. Well, again, this one I know did. Yeah. So I don't think All About Eve had...
Not Best Actor.
...of the actress category. Well,
Who's Afraid of Virginia Woolf had all the acting and Best Picture categories.
Right, but not Best Director?
Oh, I thought it didn't.
Okay.
I thought Mike Nichols was nominated.
All right, so go over the winner or the nominees once more.
And I could tell you who won. I mean, not who won, but which category.
Yeah, okay, do that.
Okay, the category that won was Best Supporting Actress.
Mm-hmm.
Actress.
Best Supporting Actress. So there were two Best Supporting Actors that were nominated that didn't win. Best Supporting Actor didn't win. Best Supporting Actress didn't win. Best Director didn't win. And Best Picture didn't win.
Wow.
But there was one for Best Supporting Actress.
Yes, that was the only one.
That was the only one that won.
After all of those nominations.
Talk about getting shut out.
Can you give us a decade, or is that to give too much away?
No, it's okay. It would be in the 60s.
60.
And it won for supporting actress.
I almost said Tom Jones, but that's not right.
Did Bonnie and Clyde do this?
Great, you got it.
Very good, very good.
Estelle Parsons. Yeah.
Good job.
Yeah.
Estelle Parsons. All right, great guys. Thanks. Love the show.
Oh, thanks a lot. Appreciate it. Okay. So I have... all right, there are seven answers here I'm looking for. What I'm going to do is give you a list of actors who played the title characters of classic novels, okay? So the role they played was the title of the novel.
Okay.
So here we go.
And this is the only time they did it, you think?
Well, I mean, if you can come up with another one, I'll give you credit for
it. All right.
So again, these are actors who played the title characters of classic novels. Number one, Mickey Rooney. Number two, Audie Murphy. Number three, Christopher Eccleston. You know Christopher Eccleston?
No,
I don't.
British actor?
Mm-mm.
Okay. Well, that's going to make it hard for you, then.
We'll just guess British novels.
Number four, it is a British novel. Number four, Frederick March. Number five, Herd Hatfield. Number six, Frank Lawton. These are all quite famous films, by the way.
Don't know Frank Lawton.
Relatively famous films. And number seven, Colin Clive, or Colin Clive. Okay, so again, these are actors who played the title characters of classic novels in their film versions. Did you have a question?
Yeah, I did. The titles aren't necessarily just the name of the character. It might be extended beyond that.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
Okay.
It could be extended beyond that, but yes.
Like her.
The title either describes the character or names it directly. Okay?
I have two.
All right, let me just go through the list once more. Number one, Mickey Rooney. Number two, Audie Murphy. Number three, Christopher Eccleston. Number four, Frederick March. Number five, Herd Hatfield. Number six, Frank Lawton. Number seven, Colin Clive. Okay, I'll give you one for now.
Well, Herd Hatfield played in The Picture of Dorian Gray.
That is correct.
Yeah, I remember that as a kid.
Frederick March was in Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde.
Right. Very good. Okay. So
Rooney,
go.
I'm trying to think of Mickey Rooney.
Andy Hardy was a great novel, wasn't it?
No.
I don't think he means that one. No.
All right. So Herd Hatfield, The Picture of Dorian Gray, which is a good movie, by the way. And Frederick March for Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde. So what are the others? So we have Mickey Rooney, Audie Murphy, Christopher Eccleston, Frank Lawton, and Colin Clive. And the number to join us is area code 415-841-4134. Let's go to a call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Hi, am I on?
You are on.
Okay, we've got the Swiss Army Knife.
Good.
Hasn't been answered yet, right?
Not really, no.
Well, one of the three, the screwdriver, has been answered by Lori.
Okay. All right, my guess would be a screwdriver, which has been answered... A toothpick and a file.
Neither one.
Ooh.
Neither.
You say neither, yes. I say neither.
Next. Thank you.
Okay.
Thank you very much.
Enjoy the show, Dan. Thank you.
Thank you. It's Dana. Thank you. that's okay. I'll take whatever I can get. And the next call.
With that new tagline, they better watch out.
That's right.
What is it? Fight, mean, hope, love. That's you.
No, that's not me. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Hello?
Hi, you're on.
Oh, hey. The first National Monument in California?
Yes.
Cabrillo in San Diego.
No.
No?
That is a national monument, but
yeah,
but it's not the first.
San Diego, so I was thinking that was going to be the one.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know how to pronounce it. Is it Cabrillo or Cabrillo?
Oh.
Cabrillo.
Since you're wrong, it doesn't make any difference.
Well, did you know that we just had a new one added?
No. What is it?
The Pinnacle.
Oh, that. Yeah, okay. I think I did read that.
What is that?
Right.
That's down in, where is it?
It's part,
Monterey,
it's a,
or San Luis Obispo?
Yeah, in the rock formations.
Yeah.
Okay.
So we just had, it just grew by one.
Right.
But I don't know. The first one?
Yeah.
I was just thinking because it's the lighthouse on the end of Point Loma. And it's been there since, what, 1850s or something?
Right.
Yeah. Oh, well.
Oh, well.
Thank you.
Thank you so much.
Bye-bye.
And the number to join us is area code 415-841-4134. This is Minds Over Matter, 415-841-4134. Let's go to a call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Hi, Dana. It's Dave, Vanessa.
Hey, Dave. Good to hear from you.
I have a movie question.
Mm-hmm.
Who was the movie actor who wore the same pair of shoes in every movie that he ever made because he was superstitious and he believed that by wearing the shoes, the film would be a successful movie, and he did make good films, so it did work. He was stage trained before coming to the movie.
Edward G. Robinson?
No.
Okay.
Career was in the 40s and 50s. He never won an Academy Award, but he had many fans all over the world.
Is there a good code to this? Like he tripped and died while wearing those shoes or something like
died
that?
Died with his boots on.
How
about Alan Ladd?
No.
That's a good guess.
Yeah, elevator shoes.
Well, he was short.
Yeah,
40s I don't think they showed his feet much.
50s.
Stood on a box.
40s and 50s, and he never won an Academy Award.
And he couldn't have been in Westerns because they wouldn't have allowed him to wear those shoes.
What sort of movies did this person make, generally, would you say?
Everything.
Yeah.
I'll give you a strong clue.
Okay.
Warner Brothers.
Dick Powell.
40s and 50s. Yeah, Warner Brothers. 40s and 50s. Not Bogart. But Warner Brothers leading man. 40s and 50s.
No Academy Awards, right?
No Academy Awards. That's true.
You're getting close.
I'm
getting close with Bogart?
No,
I'm getting close with.
Did he do any costume dramas like westerns or biblical spectacles? Because that would be.
How'd you wear three shoes?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well,
shot him from the ankles up.
Primarily, adventure. I guess you'd call them adventure pictures. Dramas, dramatic films.
Could be so many people. It's just hard to narrow down.
Zachary Scott.
No.
Darn. I can think of people in the 40s and I can think of people in the 50s, but there aren't many people who stayed with the same studio for the 40s and the 50s.
Was he a leading man or a character actor primarily?
No, he was a leading man.
Leading man.
All right. Dave, I don't like to give up, so you better give me some easy hint
Spencer Tracy
of his movies.
Spencer Tracy.
I better tell you.
No, give me one of the person's movies. I like to try to redeem myself a little bit.
Time to think. Well, he was known always as the outsider. There you are.
That's
funny how a little that helped me.
Yeah, really.
All right, I give up.
Okay. John Garfield.
Oh okay.
Yeah.
Good.
Thank you so much.
Thank you, Dave. I'm sorry we didn't do better with your question.
Right. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. And Jerry, I think it's your turn.
Who was the first lady so designated?
Wow.
You mean called so designated.
As her official name?
Yes.
Dolly Madison.
No.
Before or after her?
I can't tell you.
Because you don't know?
No, because I do know.
All right. Let's see.
I thought you might knock this one right
yeah,
out.
Well, First Lady, yeah. That's.
I think there's going to be a TV documentary coming up soon about First Ladies.
Okay, so
and I think it was like a trailer or something. I heard it. Yeah, mm-hmm.
Mary Todd Lincoln.
No,
is this one of the well-known first ladies, like in the pantheon, like Betsy Ross, and wasn't a first lady,
second tier, I'd say,
second first lady,
Jane Appleton Pierce.
No,
she was great.
Remember, Leah shook her head at me when I said Jane Appleton Pierce.
I've heard of her for some reason, if I have the right first name, but.
Oh.
And I don't know, maybe she did something.
Lucy Hayes.
All
right.
Really?
Why'd you say that?
Lemonade Lucy Hayes. Well, I don't know. She's one of the ones that sort of stands out a little
bit. Yeah, so Rutherford did make an appearance.
Yeah.
This is his second time on the show tonight. He was the telephone president, too.
He had a big 4 years.
All right, give us another question, Jerry.
Okay. All righty. What was the first public company in the world to issue stock?
In the world. So this would be the first publicly traded, I guess, in a way, if you issue stock. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Not in America?
No. But it's well known historically. It's not around today.
The Hudson's Bay Company.
No.
That's a great guess.
Okay. All right, why don't you repeat the question?
What was the first public company in the world to issue stock?
How about the East India Trading Company?
That's good.
Bingo.
There.
Dutch right. East India Company in Amsterdam.
Yeah.
1602. Very good.
I wish I had bought.
If I'd only bought that.
You were around, you could have bought that stock.
You guys, way off, man. God.
All right.
Google of its day.
It was, yeah. We are past halfway through the show, so let's repeat any questions that haven't been answered yet. Jerry?
Well, I'm looking for... I want you to identify the movies of these taglines, advertising lines. Here they are. There are five left. The greatest manhunt in history. That's the first. Number two, the law has limits. He does not.
That's my mind.
Number three, fight, dream, hope, love. Number four, a fire will rise. I'm surprised somebody hasn't gotten one or two of these. Last one, the world will be watching.
How about the greatest manhunt in history? Is that Les Miserables?
No, that's a very good guess. No, it is not.
That's the longest manhunt in history.
Yeah, it was.
And what's my other question? Oh, yeah, the Swiss Army knife. I'm looking for the original three tools in the Swiss Army knife. Laurie guessed screwdriver. I'm looking for two more in addition to the knife itself.
I'm going to get you a new trivia calendar for next Christmas so you have another supply of questions.
365 questions.
These are timeless. These are timeless.
I know. But I don't want you to run out.
I've got another batch from 2011.
And let's go to a call. I'm sorry.
My questions are, Ian McClellan Hunter, Dana pointed out, won an Academy Award as a front for Dalton Trumbull. For what movie did he win? Was that the best screenwriting for? And Hugh Jackman and Anne Hathaway are nominated for Best Actor and Supporting Actress for roles in which they sing. Who is the most recent previous winner for Best Actor and for Best Supporting Actress, two different films in which they were singers?
Best Supporting Actress is for
Chicago.
Chicago.
No.
Not Chicago. No, it's the one...
What's her name? What's the funny one?
The one that's married to Michael Douglas. She won.
Zeta-Jones.
That's Catherine Zeta-Jones.
No,
it's the other one with the
Renee
off-center
Zellweger.
Face.
Yeah, but it's not her either.
Not her either. Oh, okay.
No.
Okay.
It's not from Chicago.
I thought Catherine Zeta-Jones won for a musical.
It's after Chicago.
It's after that.
Mm-hmm. Huh. Wow.
Oh, okay.
Chicago was what?
Chicago was 2002.
Hmm. Oh, and what was the first national historical landmark so designated in California? What was the first national historical landmark in California? And I give you, these actors played the title characters of classic novels. In other words, the name of the character or a description of the character is the title of the novel. So the ones we still don't have are Mickey Rooney, Audie Murphy, Christopher Eccleston, Frank Lawton, and Colin Clive.
Oh, I know Mickey Rooney. Okay.
Do we get another guess here on this one?
You know?
Not right this second.
What do you say?
All right, go ahead.
No.
Go ahead.
You want? Oh, okay. And let's go to a call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Hi, it's Peter in Glen Park.
Hi, Peter.
For the Swiss Army knife, how about the bottle opener?
The bottle opener?
Wait a minute. The bottle opener. No.
Whoa.
All right. I know
not the corkscrew.
I'm sorry, what?
Corkscrew?
No.
No.
Okay. We're asking questions about presidents tonight, but I have one about the Secretary of Treasury.
All right.
Who was the first secretary to command troops in a combat situation while still holding a cabinet office?
Oh. The first cabinet secretary?
The first secretary of the Treasury.
A secretary of the Treasury?
Yeah, to command troops in combat.
The first and only, I guess.
Alexander Hamilton?
Yes, very good.
Yeah, well, he was the first secretary.
He was aide-de-camp to...
Truly limitless, Dana.
He was aide-de-camp to Washington during the Revolutionary War.
Well, yes. He was the first Secretary of the Treasury.
Yes, yeah. First Secretary of the Treasury.
Sorry. Yes, but he also commanded troops during the Whiskey Rebellion.
Oh, okay.
It was all about gathering taxes for the Treasury.
Right. Good.
All right.
Thank you
good.
So much.
Bye-bye. Thanks, guys. Good night.
Night. And next call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Hi, good evening. This is David Price Weldy in San Francisco.
Hi, David.
Hi, I wanted to guess a couple things. For the first National California Monument, would it be Sutter's Mill?
It is not. That is a monument, so designated, but it is not the first.
Okay. And for Jerry's Swiss Army knife,
yeah.
Would one of them be either magnifying glass or a whistle?
No.
And then for Dana's tagline...
That's Jerry's tagline.
I'm the tagline guy.
Oh, yes, but for... I can't remember the...
Oh, the law has limits, but I do
oh,
not.
Oh, yeah.
Yes, that's my tagline.
Would that
now.
Be for Skyfall?
No.
Okay.
Oh.
And
oh, that's
then
a good
for case. The greatest hunt in the world's greatest hunt, would that be Zero Dark 30?
Oh, that's good.
Yes.
Yeah, that has to be right. Yeah. Good job.
So, and the four
I thought you'd just get that right away, guys.
Yeah. Well,
the
sorry.
Hope, pray, something.
Fight, dream, hope, love.
Is that something to do with Lord of the Rings?
No,
trilogy?
No.
And my last guess is the musical for which a supporting actor was nominated, is it Ewan McGregor for Baz Luhrmann's musical?
No. Well, yeah. I don't know if it was, but the question's about best actor and best supporting actress. I'm not sure about that one, though.
Oh,
Ewan
okay.
McGregor.
Okay.
Probably is, but I'm not sure.
Okay.
What was the name of that musical?
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Moulin Thanks,
Rouge.
David.
Moulin Rouge, yeah.
Thank you. And, Lori, it's your turn.
All right. I'm going to ask a literature question here. All of these questions are about Pride and Prejudice. And there's an anniversary of Pride and Prejudice, so that's the first question. What anniversary is
200.
It?
One of my favorite movies, actually.
Is it?
The first
Which
version
one?
Of that,
yeah.
The Greer Garson version.
So here's the 200th anniversary. What was the original title for the book that was changed?
First Impressions.
Very nice. Okay.
That was the Broadway musical, too, wasn't
it? Was
it?
Made into, that's why
that's
I
right.
know it, because yeah. it was a musical.
Let me know this.
Tony Randall.
Jane Austen did not have her name on the title page of Pride and Prejudice. What was there instead?
Oh, good question.
And here is
you
one.
Mean what was that, a pseudonym or?
It wasn't a pseudonym. It was something
she said
was
by written. A woman who's like a something that identifies
something in there
by
a country gentlewoman or
yeah
country,
something like that yeah
not that but in that department
okay good.
And the last one was a comment that was made by her contemporary that said this young lady has a talent for describing the involvements and feelings and characters of ordinary life which is to me the most wonderful I have ever met with. Who said that about Jane Austen?
A contemporary.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, contemporary. Oh,
a famous author.
Yes, another
but
famous author.
A contemporary male. Of Austen.
Yes, I think so.
Oh.
Right around, maybe a little bit after.
Charlotte
her.
Bronte?
No.
A poet or a...
Yes, a writer. Yeah.
Byron?
No. So we're looking for what was said on the title page for identifying the author and who said that wonderful thing about her that she is the most wonderful I ever met with the involvements and feelings of
Wordsworth?
Characters. No. All good guesses.
All right.
So somebody quite famous.
A
like
publicist.
Yeah. Her PR flack.
All right. Okay. What part did Tony Randall play? Was he Mr. Darcy?
I guess he probably was. And
In First
Polly Bergen was Polly Bergen was in that.
Yeah,
she played the Elizabeth.
Yeah. And was it a musical?
Yeah, it wasn't a big hit.
Who wrote the score?
I have the cast album. What?
Who wrote the score?
I don't know that. That's a good question. I'll look it up for you.
Randall, Polly Bergen would be good.
Oh, she's great.
And let's go to a call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Yeah, hi, this is Greg in Alameda.
Hi, Greg.
And I think this is the most answers I've ever had on a show. So I'll just go through. The actress who won for singing Best Supporting Actress, that was Jennifer Hudson.
It was. What was the film?
Very good.
Which film?
Dream Girl.
Very good. Very nice.
And then the guy, it must have been Jamie Foxx.
It wasn't. It was after Jamie Foxx. That's a good guess for Ray.
It was after Jamie Foxx. Mm-hmm. Was it that guy from The Artist? But that was a silent movie.
No, the silent movie guy did not sing. But that's good, though. He looked like he was singing.
But it was after Ray?
Yeah, it was after Ray.
Okay, but I don't know that one. Okay, so then the movie taglines, did you say they were all released in 2012?
Yes.
Okay, so the one about the world we'll be watching, that's The Hunger Games.
That's correct.
Good job.
Yeah. Very good.
Yeah, then the one about the law has limits and he does not.
Yes.
That's that new Tom Cruise movie.
I think Jack Reacher.
Jack Reacher.
Right. Very good.
Okay, and then I'm pretty sure the Swiss Army Knife, the original one, it must have had a can opener.
It is.
Oh, it is.
Can opener. Very good. And one more we need. One more.
That's it. That's
okay.
All I know.
you did pretty good.
Very good, Greg.
All right. Thank you.
Thank you.
Fun show. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Nice work.
And, okay, let's see here. Who saved Robert Todd Lincoln's life during the Civil War when he was about to be hit by a train or caught in between cars on a train?
Famous person?
A very famous person, yes. For the time.
His father?
No.
Rutherford B. Hayes.
Lucy Hayes. I will say there's another level to this question.
Yeah.
Ooh. The person that saved his life.
So it's not John Wilkes Booth or something.
It's not
really
John Wilkes Booth.
Like that.
I read that fact somewhere recently. I cannot remember.
Who saved Robert? This was in 1863, I believe, or 64. Who saved Robert Todd Lincoln's life by pulling him away from between two train cars as he was about to be crushed, basically?
Stanton.
No.
Okay.
Is a person a politician?
No, not a politician. Okay. But a famous person.
Famous person. Huh.
All right, and the number to join us is area code 415-841-4134. 415-841-4134. Let's go to a call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Hi, is that me?
It is you.
Okay, this is James from The Mission.
Hi.
And I think I have some ideas or answers for the Swiss Army Knife.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And I'm not sure how many have been answered correctly and how many there are altogether.
Well, there are three. There's a screwdriver, which has been gotten, a can opener, which someone just got, and the knife blade itself. I'm looking for one more.
Okay. Would that be the awl?
The awl. Very good.
Jeez.
Oh, my
Excellent.
Goodness.
Yeah.
Good job.
Very good. Very good.
All right. Thanks a lot.
Thank you.
So can we guess now on the guys who played titled characters in movies?
Yeah, I'll give you one.
I think Colin Clive was Frankenstein.
That's right.
Yeah.
Frankenstein.
Who's the... Jerry, do you know the Mickey Rooney one?
I was going to say Rogers and Hart.
Oh.
No.
Mm-mm. It's not a book title.
That was... No, that was called Words and Music.
Words and Music. Yeah. Okay.
Right.
I thought I had it. Okay.
Yes, Colin Clive played Baron Frankenstein.
Mickey Rooney. Gosh.
Yeah. And next call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Hello.
Hi, you're on.
Oh, Abdullah Erdek. The film, Audie Murphy, could it be, I forget the name, it was directed by John Huston, and there was an essay, I think, by Pauline Kael, but I forget the name.
Oh, you're thinking of The Red Badge of Courage.
Exactly.
But there's no title character in that, so no, that's not the one.
Oh, I'm sorry.
That's okay.
Bye.
Bye. So, he was in The Red Badge of Courage, and the essay was the one by Ross.
Lillian Ross. She's still writing for them.
Oh, okay.
Amazing. I don't know how old she is, but she's
writing now.
She's still writing for The New Yorker. Yeah. She was up till recently.
And
she's the one that had the affair with William Shawn, the editor.
Oh, for years and years and years.
Secret affair, yes.
Yeah. Wow. 415-841-4134. Let's go to a call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Hi, so I think the California landmark was El Camino Real?
Not El Camino Real.
I was going to guess that, but it's not a structure. So.
Yeah.
Sort of. And then the Mickey Rooney question. I think this is a little bit of a trick question since the book title was Flowers for Algernon, but the character he played was, I think, Charlie?
And that's Cliff Charlie. Robertson.
No, it's Cliff Robertson. Right. That was Cliff Robertson.
Oh, not Mickey Rooney.
No.
Oh. Okay, sorry.
That's okay. Thank you.
Yep, thank you.
And you're listening to Minds Over Matter. We're here every Sunday at 7. Hope you're enjoying the show.
Was Mickey Rooney a child when? Was this his, you know, adolescent Mickey
yeah,
Rooney?
Yeah, sort of an in-between yes. age, yeah.
Right? Teenager, I think.
Not...
Post-Andy Hardy?
Yeah, I guess he was still
adolescent,
a teenager.
Adolescent.
He was still a teenager, yeah.
Oh, okay.
And the number to join us is 415-841-4134. Let's go to a call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Hi, it's Ron in San Francisco, and is Mickey Rooney The Adventures of Huckleberry Finn?
That is correct.
Oh,
yes.
Very
1939, very good.
Thanks a lot.
It was on
very
TV
good.
Like a week ago.
Yeah.
Right. And next call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Hi, this is Mark in the Mission. I also wanted to guess the punch, which I think is the same as the all for the...
Yes, that's correct. They said all or punch.
We'll give you a credit for that.
Good.
Figuring they all have to be fairly simple tools. And for the landmark, then, as my substitute answer, how about the ferry building?
Not the ferry building.
That's a good guess.
All right. Thank you. Yeah.
Thank you so much. And you're listening to Minds Over Matter. I hope you're enjoying the show. Give us a call. We have a couple of lines open. 415-841-4134. 415-841-4134. Laurie, you have a question you want to throw in?
I do. Paul Tanner died 2 weeks ago. He was the last surviving member of the Glenn Miller Orchestra.
Oh,
what's
really?
The connection between Paul Tanner and the Beach Boys?
Paul Tanner. Oh.
Paul Tanner was the last living member of Glenn Miller Orchestra. And had a direct connection, a musical connection to the Beach Boys.
He doesn't have a relative who's one of the Beach Boys.
It was Paul Tanner.
Does this
himself.
Have to do with the instrument he played?
Yes.
Okay. So did he play the background or sub for somebody on one of the albums?
He did an instrumentation of in a Beach Boys song that's very famous.
Oh.
He played an instrument.
Okay, what is his instrument?
What is his instrument? And it wasn't the instrument he played for Glenn Miller was the trombone. I'll give you a hint. It was not the trombone in the Beach Boys song.
Is this a non-traditional instrument?
Yes.
The what's that one?
Like an oil drummer's, you know, something like that.
It's
but not
like an oil
not
drum,
thought of as normal a musical instrument.
I'm just going to say odd. It's an unusual instrument.
Okay.
And everybody knows it, including Kevin.
What's that one that
what is it, Kevin?
Kevin's playing it.
Is a musical saw? Theremin?
Yeah.
I was going to say that. I couldn't think of the name of it.
That instrument.
Good job.
And he was apparently got a patent on it, and the Beach Boys invited him into the studio, Good Vibrations. That's he. That's
very good.
Paul Tanner. Thank you to Susan Schweik for that question.
He must have been pretty old.
Yeah. He was 95 when he died.
Uh-huh.
Hmm. Yeah.
And let's go to a call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Hi, I'm Ariana in Oakland, and I'm 11. And I know the answer to the Lincoln Sun question.
Okay, good.
It was Edwin Booth.
It was Edwin Booth.
Oh, that's what I read.
John Wilkes Booth's brother.
Excellent. Good job, Ariana.
That's a great question and a great answer.
Yes. How did you know about?
I studied Broadway in fourth grade, and Edwin Booth was an actor on Broadway. So. Mm-hmm.
Well, thank you so much. Great question. Great answer.
Where did you study Broadway? Where do you study?
Yeah, Jerry wants to go to that school, too.
Yeah.
Jerry should teach there.
What?
What school did you go to? What school do you go to where you studied Broadway?
Oh, it was I go to day school.
Uh-huh.
Oh, okay.
It was a research project. You got to choose what you wanted to study.
Oh, well, sounds great. Very interesting.
Great topic.
Good luck with that. Yes. Thank you so much.
Bye.
Yes, Edwin Booth, who was the most famous actor in America at the time, Yes, saved the life of Abraham Lincoln's son, and of course his brother later killed Abraham Lincoln. But there was a, Lincoln wrote him a letter to thank him, that Abe Lincoln wrote him a letter to thank him after this incident happened, and he sort of used that, he felt much better about his family having received that letter after his brother killed Lincoln.
Yeah.
So.
I mean, was the son, was the... Did he rescue the son before the assassination?
Yeah, oh yeah, yeah.
Oh, before?
Yeah, a couple years before.
Oh, okay.
So, and next call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter. Hello? Anybody there? No? Next call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Hi, it's Thomas in Berkeley.
Hi, Thomas.
The National Monument thing, that wasn't the Redwoods, was it?
Not the Redwoods, no.
Okay, what about Dalton Trumbo?
Yes.
That the Brave Bull?
You know, the one he wrote is Robert Rich. Was it The Brave Bull? I thought it was The Brave One.
That's the Brave One.
Yeah.
Well, there was a movie called The Brave Bull, too.
Yeah. This is the other one, that under the name of Ian McClellan Hunter. He also won another one. Do you know that one?
The Harder They Fall? Did you write that?
No, he didn't. Not Bridge on the River Kwai, is it?
No.
Okay.
Both good guesses. It's a sweeter, more comic film than that.
Oh.
Yeah.
All right.
When I read it, I was surprised he had anything to do with
Haven't it. Haven't Costello meet Frankenstein?
No.
I'll give you. It's a light romantic comedy.
Oh, okay.
Is there
in the mid 50s?
Did you have another guess?
I have another
Thomas?
Guess yes. for Jane Austen.
Yes.
Wouldn't that be Walter Scott?
It was Walter Scott.
So oh,
Walter
very good.
Scott said that wonderful name. Thing. Yeah. You're very good.
Very, very good.
Yeah. Okay.
Thanks, Thomas.
That's pretty obscure, yeah.
Yeah, now we're looking for what was on the title page for the author.
All right, time to clean up here. What have we got?
Okay, the other taglines, the tagline, Fight, Dream, Hope, Love, is for Les Miserables.
Mm. Oh.
And Fire Will Rise was for The Dark Knight Rises.
Oh, the Batman movie.
Yeah, right.
Okay.
I think that's all.
Lori?
Tonight.
The Jane Austen did not put her name on the title page. It said by the author of Sense and Sensibility, figuring would know that. Uh-huh. The last person to win for a best actor for singing, primarily singing, was Jeff Bridges in Crazy Heart, country and western thing.
Mm-hmm.
And then this was the shocking question. Dalton Trumbo, the Ian McClellan Hunter, won the Academy Award for writing Roman Holiday.
Very good.
Gregory Peck.
That's very good. The first designated National Historical Landmark in California was Mission Carmel.
Oh.
Mission Carmel, October 9th, 1960. Actors who played the title characters of classic novels. Mickey Rooney, of course, Huckleberry Finn. Audie Murphy, The Quiet American. Graham Greene's book.
Oh, but that's not
that's
person's
not a name.
That's the.
I said it could be a description of
oh,
a
I didn't
character,
hear
not necessarily a name.
All right.
Christopher Eccleston, Jude the Obscure, Frank Lawton, David Copperfield.
Okay.
And yeah, that's it. So if we did not get to your call, we do apologize. Please remember that Minds Over Matter is here every Sunday at 7 p.m. Hope you enjoyed the show. Next week, we will be here as usual. Hope you will be too. My thanks to Jerry Nachman and Lori Fisher. We'll be back next week. I've been your moderator, Dana Rodriguez. Our thanks to Kevin Vance and Steve Wilcott for handling the board and phones. And above all, our thanks to you for taking the time to tune in and call in. Have a great week, everybody. Take care. Happy President's Day. Bye-bye.
Ain't wrong, you're right. If it ain't day, it's night. If you ain't sure, you might. It's gotta be this or that. If it ain't dry, it's wet. If you ain't got, you get. If it ain't gross, it's net. It's gotta be this or that. If it ain't sis, you can't miss. It's got to be your brother.